Good evening, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And as you know, this program talks about and works with businesses here in the Lehigh Valley. And tonight is no different. We have a special guest here in the studio with us, Billy Canupas, who is a local entrepreneur, owner of the award-winning Billy's Downtown Diner franchise, and author of recently released book, The It Factor, Mindset of an Entrepreneur. Now, those of you that are familiar with Billy knows that he, in this area, he has two diners, downtown diners, in Allentown and Bethlehem. And as a young man or a young child, he grew up in his parents' restaurants. He considers that to be the playground that he grew up in. Billy has two books previously to this, Not Your Ordinary Cookbook, that was released in 2006, where he shares recipes from his Not Your Ordinary Diner, and in Billy Cooks Like a Mother, which was released in 2011, he provides a guide to starting your own business by someone who's been there, done that. And listeners, I have read the book, and it's very good. It's very down to earth and really tells it from the experience level that he has had. So this evening, as I said, we have Billy joining us in the studio. Billy, welcome.
Thank you so much. Greatly honored to be here.
Yeah. Now, this is it's a great opportunity to talk about this new book. But before we do, I want to just give sort of the timeline to our listeners of your background so that they can understand how maybe this book evolved over time. So it wasn't until 2000 that you purchased Rudy's Newsstand, correct?
Correct. With my beautiful wife and I, it was a little newsstand known for some coffee and great sandwiches and lottery tickets, but it wasn't what we really wanted to do.
Yeah. When I read your book, I was surprised that you had kept that format for a little while and then very quickly decided to go into this new format, which became Billy's Downtown Diner. Is that correct?
It's true. And I wish I could take the credit for that, but that would be my wife. She saw that I was being pretty creative with a lot of the dishes, and my wife Yana is actually equally creative, and she said, I don't want anybody to get credit for what you're doing, and she decided to call it Billy's Downtown Diner.
Okay. Well, if anyone has driven past the diner, especially on weekends in the morning, you know that there's a lot of folks in the Lehigh Valley that are at both locations trying to get those wonderful recipes. Now, in 2003, as I looked at your history, you went smoke-free, which was really you were ahead of your time in your restaurant to have a smoke-free environment, correct?
Yes. So our mantra has always been, not your ordinary diner. And really, we always felt that food is very important and service and experience is very important, but comfort, especially for families, was very important. And I wanted to have my children at the restaurants with us so I could see them. My wife and I were working 16, 17-hour days. And it was just a decision to say, no smoking, so this way it would be healthy for my children, and as well as a family restaurant for other diners that wanted to bring in their families.
And how was that received initially?
Well, the first day that we did that, I think we regressed rather quickly. I think we wound up killing about 90% of our sales. But
wow.
People were walking in and leaving. But the funny thing is that day, a friend of mine who was on Channel 69 News comes in and he says, Billy, why is this place so slow today? And I told him what we did. And he goes, is anybody else doing that? And I go, no. He says, why are you doing it? And I said, it's a personal thing. And he goes, I think we got a story here. And so they researched it and they found out that we would be the first ones to be doing that. And then wouldn't you know, at the end of that segment, our phone rang off the hook. And the next thing you know, we did like five times the business.
Wow.
What we ever anticipated. So
yeah, that was pretty wise on your part. I remember going into restaurants at that time and coming out and feeling like I had to go to the dry cleaner, you know, because that smoke-free was not normally anywhere else. Yeah. So, okay, that was 2003. 2006, what prompted you to do Not Your Ordinary Cookbook?
I guess maybe because I'm a little in love with my wife, and we were very competitive as to who creates what. But more or less, I wanted to have a story of what we did and our journey together. Mm-hmm. And we went through a lot of challenges. So, you know, we just decided to do it. And I thought it'd be a nice Valentine's Day gift.
Oh, sweet. That's nice. And that's available in your restaurants, correct?
Yes. And actually, Moravian Bookstore, Amazon, Wegmans.
Okay. Terrific. Now, progressing a little bit, we have Billy Cooks Like a Mother that came out in 2011. What is that about?
Well, that was a guide to starting your own business. And I did catch a little bit of a flack as to how I chose that. And you got to understand, when I'm writing a book, the title is the least important thing to me, but I love the way my mom, for example, cooked, and I loved her hard work ethic, and she was always had a lot of things going on, so it was like a little bit of a tribute to her,
okay.
You know, and her work ethic.
Okay. And when I figured, you know, I took it sort of two ways when I was reading that, and I'm thinking like, and here's a guy who cooks like a mom, mm-hmm. you know, provides the right kind of food. All right, so 2013 was a big year for you because that saw the Allentown location open up, which was quite a bit bigger than the Bethlehem location, correct?
Yeah, not by much, only like maybe 9 times the size. That was that we went from 2,000 square feet to roughly 11,000 square feet, and that was a blessing. That was another beautiful downtown.
That is a nice location. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And my wife was surprised when we got that. She was away in Europe, and you know, and somehow I guess news broke, and she's like, "What did you just do?"
Okay, well, I just locked us in for another few years. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then in 2014, and this is pretty 2013, you opened the new location. 2014, you closed for some renovations in Bethlehem. That had to be a trip for a business owner.
Well, we were forced to close. We suffered structural issues.
Okay.
There was a tree that was growing its roots into the back of the building, and it was we were forced into doing that, but also at the same time, we were starting also some light negotiations in opening our third location for Easton.
Okay.
So we had just opened up Allentown. We were forced to close the one, and a few minutes later, we started taking on negotiations to build a third location.
That's quite a menu for a small business owner to undertake all at one time.
Yeah, well, wow. Like I've always said, you know, you let God write your story and see where the wind takes it.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. So now it's 2017. So it's six years after your last book. And now we have The It Factor, Mindset of an Entrepreneur. So let's now turn our conversation to that and share with the listeners some of the background and how this evolved. You start your book with the cover with an interesting quote that says, "From that day forward, I welcomed every obstacle and every challenge. If I couldn't open the door, I was going to break it open." Where did this come from?
Well, I think that too many people, when they're going into business, their number one concern is always about money, money, and money. But the bottom line is that there's really no substitute for you. And when you're going to go into business, it's not going to be smooth sailing. There are things that are just going to go wrong. But the big thing was, it was really when I worked for other people, I hated being under the sword of someone. You know, my father used to say, there is no one better than you, but you are no better than anyone either. And I worked with so many bipolar bosses that were just so mean.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one instance where I was not feeling well. And my one boss he wasn't there. And I had a bad fever. And I've never missed a day's work in my entire life. Never called off sick. And the cook that I was working with looked at me and says, "Bill, you know what? You look pretty bad. Why don't you go outside and just take a break? I made this mistake of a grilled cheese and get some air." I wasn't even really hungry, but I really wanted the air. So I took it. And wouldn't you know, as I sat outside, the owner of the restaurant comes in and he says, "You know why you don't have anything? Because you're lazy." And he took my sandwich and he threw it away. And that day, as I was driving home, I thought more about driving my car off a cliff than going home. And, you know, my mom said, you should never, ever endure anything like that. You should never allow anyone to disrespect you. And she, as a Spartan mom, she set the records straight. And from that point on, I said, I will never let anyone treat me like that ever again. So I had to change my mentality and my habits. And I just decided from that point on, I was going to overcome any obstacle that came my way.
Okay, so that sort of is your definition of mindset right there in that quote. You know, you have the obstacles, but you go through them based on your mindset.
Well, correct. Well, you know, and let me try to put this in the way. It's a mindset is more or less, for me, in the way that I interpret it, an expression that I use before you go into business or into a battle.
Okay.
It's a belief system.
Okay.
And I had to really change the way I looked at things, and I really had to start believing in myself.
Okay. So was that the then the beginning of why you thought about putting it down in a book form, in word form, the mindset factor?
Well, the mindset factor is really a little bit more involved than that. I started, well, for me, writing is therapy.
Okay.
It's the cheapest form of therapy there is. And I am been blessed to have been around a lot of successful people and a lot of great people that weren't able to reach that next level, and they all had a very interesting story to tell. And I'm like a sponge. I love absorbing knowledge, and I love being around people. So I was trying to figure myself out. So this was really an accumulation of notes for about maybe 20-some years that I found about maybe 3.5 to 4 years ago.
Oh, okay, so you're able to sort of go back and go through your path again as you saw the notes and...
When I moved into our new home, when my wife and I found those things and I started putting them around, and one of my friends took a look at it. He goes, this is really good stuff, Billy. This should really maybe be a book. And I'm like, you know what? I'll do another business book. Mm-hmm. And as I was writing this book, I thought I was writing a business book until the editor looked at it and he goes, this is really not a business book, Billy. This is really a self-help book.
Well, but it's self-help and it's business-oriented because your examples provide a strong framework for the reader to understand what you mean by the mindset and the strength one has to have as they're a business owner.
Well, yeah, that's true, but it isn't just as a business owner, right? Before, I talked about an instance of my life where I was completely disrespected. Mm-hmm. So let's just take a look at this. If you take a look at yourself as the CEO of you, and if you take a look at, for example, right, you got to pay your mortgage, your car payments, insurance, everything that's out there. So really, you are a business person.
You're in control of yourself.
You just haven't realized it yet.
Okay.
So I guess what I was trying to make a point of, or I was trying to say to everyone, is that, look, maybe business isn't for you, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to lead your life properly. And that doesn't mean that you should ever feel or be disrespected. You have to realize your own value and realize that by you being part of our society, you help contribute to it and make it a better place. And I think a great example of that is if we take a look at whether it be teachers who lead classrooms on one level, you know, all the way from educators to parents. Right? A parent mm-hmm. is a CEO of their children. Mm-hmm. You know, a mother is or the father is the head of the house. So if you're already in a position to lead, why would you let anybody else control you? And so, yes, it does apply a lot to business. Mm-hmm. But also, though, you as an individual, you got to remember, right, when you're opening up a business, it's just four walls. Your house is four walls until you bring the life into it.
Make it the home.
Exactly.
Or make it the business. Interesting. So mindset to you, the beliefs that you start with about yourself, your best qualities, those are the things that, and quite honestly, I've seen a lot where businesses have been limited because of their mindset, because they haven't believed that they could get to that next level, or they haven't believed that something was within their power. And so I thought when I read this book that it was a great way to reinforce how much in control you can be of your own life. And I love that phrase, CEO of yourself.
Thank you.
I've never heard that before. Is that a Billy original?
That's a Billy original, from what I understand. You know, you can't buy originality, you know. So, you know, but yeah, I believe it is. I haven't seen anyone ever use that before. But yeah, like I said earlier, mindset of an entrepreneur, in my opinion, it's an attitude and it's a key factor. Allow me to say this, only a good mindset can help you deal with challenges and truly understanding the difference of what is right and what feels good. And sometimes people walk a fine line in that, especially in business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that, where you're looking at profits, but you're also looking at sustainable wages. You're looking at, you know, all sorts of things to do within your business.
Okay. Agreed.
Okay. So, you know, CEO of yourself was sort of unique, and your positioning in the book is sort of unique. You know, the titles that you have for your chapters, the preface that you're doing in this book is also very unique. You wrote the preface versus someone else writing it for you, which I thought was great. You shared yourself, correct?
I did. Well, this book had to be as brutally honest, and it was important for people to understand that I wasn't born on third base, and that there is a we all have a lot of similarities. Not to mention, I'm relatively unknown. So I wanted them to have an understanding that what you're seeing now is a result of over 30 years, you know, being made in the process. And that's why I had to take this type of approach. Even like I said, when I was writing this book, I thought I was writing a business book.
Yeah.
But I was not aware of it until my editor took a look at it. And in regards to the titles, I'll just quickly touch on this. Every title, everything you see in the content page, I thought was going to be the title of the book. Mm-hmm. And then I just applied it in there. I was like, nah, this isn't going to work, but I'll just call this chapter this, you know, and so on and so forth.
Well, listeners, we're going to be taking a short break, but please stay with us. I'm talking with Billy Knupis, owner of Billy's Downtown Diner. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm Sally Hanlon, your host this evening, and I'm talking with Billy Knupis, owner of Billy's Downtown Diner, about his new book, The It Factor, The Mindset of an Entrepreneur. And right before the break, we were talking about Billy taking his own approach to writing books and coming up with some of his own terms. And we were talking about the preface. You're being so transparent and so open in that preface, telling everybody where you came from, how you got to where you're getting. Do you feel vulnerable about that? Or has anybody, you know, come to you and said, oh, Billy, you shouldn't have, you know, revealed that much?
It was sort of pushing the envelope a little bit. But if you really care about your fellow person, if you really want people to do well, and for me, mentoring and assisting future entrepreneurs means a lot to me. I really feel that entrepreneurs and businesses just make communities a lot better. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with going through some pain and sharing it. There were vulnerable moments because I had to go to a very dark place and be reminded of where I was. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of great things come out of pain, I guess. So,
well, if you don't have pain, you don't have growth.
Ain't that a fact?
So, you know, but the fact that you shared it as openly as you did, I think, brings everybody into your book a little bit more intimately as they read it, because they know who the author is now.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Now, there are some other things in this book that are very different, and listeners, I don't know if you're aware, but I did do some teaching at Lehigh University's Small Business Development Center on starting businesses and business plans, and there were some concepts in here that Billy reinforced, but also introduced me to some new ones as well. And so I thought you could share with your knowledge to our listeners some of your thoughts on like four key areas, Billy, that you mentioned in the book, knowledge, self-respect, trust, and community. So could you please weave that for our listeners so they understand how you feel
sure.
These are important?
Certainly. Well, I think the first thing that I would like to quickly touch on is that I honestly believe this, and a lot of people might not agree with it, but I honestly feel like the world would be finished without entrepreneurs. And without entrepreneurs, failure would not have been a big deal, since no one would have risked anything ever or studied. So they create jobs and projects. So once you understand that what you're going to contribute, then you got to bring it to the best light possible, right? You should be knowledgeable. You got to know what you're getting into yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to maintain a high level of respectability, because how can you lead if you're not respected?
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then when you're building your business, you have so many people that are going to be listening to you and following you. So you have to have trust. They know that they're going to get paid, that you're going to do the right thing. You're going to provide a great product and something that they could believe in. And really, businesses are a part of our community. Businesses bring communities together and bring people into towns. I just want to make a quick example. If we
sure.
just take a look at the Restaurant Rose, whether it be in Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton alone, there's a lot of great places for people to go and eat. Great staples, like whether it be the Brew Works or the Apollos or what we do or Bayou, all those things bring people into the community and it opens it up. Now, think about it, right? If we weren't doing the right thing, and the Greeks have an expression, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are. Imagine if our businesses were
like
unethical,
that.
What would we be bringing into our city?
Yeah.
So that's how they play into the community. And I think that when a person goes into business, they have to realize that they have an understanding, that they got to understand what they're getting into. And it's not just about them. It's really about who you're also going to be serving or what you're going to be doing and what that product is.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly I'm a firm believer in that.
Well, and I know that you've been very active in the community, and the fact that you've put two of your locations in downtown areas and the third one is about to go mm-hmm. into a downtown area really emphasizes, I think, your commitment to the Lehigh Valley communities.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, we're very honored and privileged. I mean, I'm thankful that, the communities allow us to go and be part of their community or part of their families. And it's really, for me, it's a big gulp out of the fountain of youth for me to be able to be doing that. You know, it keeps me young.
Definitely keeps you moving, I'm sure.
That's for sure.
Now, also in this, I think it was the same chapter or very close, you came up with an acronym, FACE, when you're talking about particularly these core principles or principles that are the values for you. So what does FACE mean and explain that?
So that was something that I came up with that stood for focus, attitude, community, and ethics. And I believe that We as a society or the people around us complicate things. And I wanted to bring it down to a level that to simplify it, which really comes around the simplicity of, be good, do good, be your best, and, and really bring all those ingredients together. So when you're going to start your own business, you got to be focused. You can't have any distractions. What is your commitment? What are you willing to do? I'm a firm believer in this, that you cannot choose to be successful if you don't have the right habits. Your habits is going to determine how successful you're going to be. Mm-hmm. So you need to have focus. Mm-hmm. Attitude. There is no place for having a big ego or demeaning people, or like that person did with me with the sandwich when I was sick. You got to have the right attitude. Mm-hmm. And also, as a leader, you are going to go through a lot of pain, but you got to be able to put that off to the side and put the focus on the people that are believing in you, and you got to keep them motivated. So you need to have that great attitude. Of course, we have already touched on community, and of course, your ethics. Who are you? What's important to you? How well is that going to translate? You know, ethics are one of the most important things in business.
Yeah. It is, and today, unfortunately, we've seen a lot of examples, perhaps not as glaringly supportive of ethics as once we had. But in your book, when you talk about these areas, you also talk about the fact that you have basically worked, when I think about leadership, you have worked in basically every aspect of that business, from, you know, cleaning it, to starting it, to cooking it, to serving it, to whatever, and how important do you think that is for a leader to be able to relate to those in his or her business that are doing those things?
Well, I think the first thing is we need to take a look at what does leadership mean. And I honestly believe that a good leader creates more leaders, not followers. Okay. The second aspect of it, I knew what I wanted to be and what my primary focus was going to be. So I never dabbled in anything other than the hospitality industry. I'd never painted. I didn't do construction. I didn't try selling cars. I stayed within my industry. I am a weird sort of person. I really don't follow like sports and things like that. I don't like to watch experts doing what they're doing. I need to focus on my own expertise.
Okay.
So I always focused and just tried to work as hard as I possibly could and to learn. And I'll fill you in on a quick story. When I was first started cooking back then, there wasn't any Google, right? So you had to learn off somebody. And cooks or a lot of chefs wanted to keep everything guarded. So even when I washed dishes, I would go up to the cooks on the line and I would pay them. I'd say, listen, I'll give you $5 if you let me cook my own meal, so I could get a taste of what it would be like up there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So that's very important to me. I think you should know the very most, the best, because how can you lead if you don't know anything about what you're doing?
Yeah.
That's why we see a lot of failures in the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't know what they're really getting into.
So when you consider yourself continuing your learning, whether it's reading books or doing whatever you're doing, is it restaurant? Is it leadership? Is it management? Are you looking at all of those aspects of being where you need to grow and develop?
I think that we as a people are no different than making something delicious. You need a bunch of ingredients to make everything. Everything has to work together.
Mm-hmm.
For example, businesses don't close just because of one reason. There's a lot of reasons that they're going to be successful and a lot of reasons that they could be failures. My restaurants have the name Billy's on them, but believe me, you know, we have like 70-some people making sure that Billy's runs, you know, to the best of its ability.
Mm-hmm.
So all aspects are important. You shouldn't really single out just one particular aspect of it.
Okay, so your well-rounded learning is extremely important. And I agree with you. I mean, I think if people start a business and they stop learning at that point, that's the kiss of death for the business.
It is. You know, there's this old expression, right? Falling down, you know, could be that of accident, but staying down is a choice. So you really need to be completely aware of everything and, you know, have that focus all the time.
That's you're coming up with these wonderful sayings. I hope they're captured in your book elsewhere, because uh-huh. I definitely want to refer back to them, and I'm not having time to write them down. There are some other things that you mentioned that now this was very interesting to me. I'd never heard this term before, nor had I heard about the sort of the definition, and that's having a spidey sense. Can you explain that and let our listeners in on your definition of that?
All right. So first of all, big deal. I read comic books too, okay? It's not all about Shakespeare. I use the term spidey sense because, again, I wanted to simplify something. And that is that when you start becoming an expert in your field, you have instincts. And there's a big difference between instincts and a gut feeling. Instincts, in my personal opinion, is based on your experiences. A gut feeling is something that's rather emotional. Take a look at a gambler who says, it's got to come up on black or it has to come up on red, you know, when they're playing roulette. The ball doesn't know where it's going to land, you know. but that's an example of using, a gut feeling. And I think what I am trying to say is that if you're truly working towards mastering your craft, you'll know what you're walking into and you'll be able to know whether or not you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. So that's what it's really about.
Okay. All right. So you're just sort of bracing yourself and picking all those like a spider would on Spider-Man.
Yeah. You got to know when you're running into danger. I mean, I'm working on some other projects, right? But there's this one thing that I was learning when I was taking my kids swimming. And that is that when a child starts to drown, he doesn't start splashing all over the place. You know, first they're trying to tread water. Mm-hmm. They're trying to stay above it. But the child is drowning, mm-hmm. At the moment that the child is drowning, it's moving, its hands all over the place, It could potentially be too late. So you got to know when you're starting to drown. And
in the business,
those instincts is what's going to keep you going. That's what I'm referring to.
Okay.
And that trying to be proactive in your business.
Okay, keep moving. Keep moving. Trying moving forward too. Mm-hmm. Getting
Correct.
Off the ground. Okay. You also talk about embracing originality.
Yes. This is really, you cannot buy creativity. You can't buy that. And, we as individuals are one of a kind. And that's a good foundation to really take a look at. Now, everything is recycled. Everything is passed down to us from one generation to another, a mindset, a thought. What my parents said probably could be no different than what anybody else's parents have said. It was just said a little bit differently. But I think, what I'm trying to say, and I got to stop saying I think because I'm certain of this. For example, I don't try to duplicate the people that I'm in competition with. I'm too busy taking care of my own, as they say, my own grass, as mm-hmm. opposed to be staring at somebody else's. Mm-hmm. And when you're building something, it's okay to be original. It's okay to have influences, but don't go and try to steal something that really doesn't belong to you. I'm dealing with a lot of that right now. A lot of people are duplicating everything that what we're doing. But and it's flattering, but also at the same time then, you're not perfecting what you're doing. You're just trying to perfect what somebody else is doing. And that's a dangerous thing to be in when you're running a business.
And it's not your passion, necessarily.
Exactly.
Your passion will lead to your originality.
That's exactly it. And too many people second guess themselves every time when they're doing something. It's okay to be cautious. Mm-hmm. But, don't overthink yourself out of something. You have to believe in yourself.
Yeah. Well, and as you said in your book, and maybe some of our listeners are aware of this, but this restaurant opportunity that you're in now is not your first. Your first opportunity was not a successful one. So you were able to pick yourself up and then move forward. It may have taken a little while, but failure shouldn't stop you.
No. I think I might be saying that, you know, I mean, don't be scared to fail, but avoid it at all costs.
Right, right. You know, try and be prepared. But, you know, if it happens, understand why it happened and move on, pick up and try again.
This is true. I just heard a customer of ours. This is why I love doing what I do. A couple of weeks ago, he says, would you imagine if every time a baby tried taking a step and it kept falling, it said, you know what, maybe this walking thing is not right for me, you know?
Yeah.
Look, we're supposed to be challenged, okay? We are supposed to be challenged. That's what creates progress. That's what helps make things better. You don't want to be like, you know, a hamster in one of those wheels that just keeps spinning and spinning and going nowhere. You don't want to spend your life being busy doing nothing.
Right.
And so you got to keep moving because life doesn't wait for us. You know, the new currency is time.
Absolutely.
And you can't waste it. And just because something went wrong, it doesn't mean that you should quit. It just means you need better advice next time.
Correct. You need to alter what you're doing or how you approached it or whatever. There's one other area that you mentioned before we go into our next break, and I thought this was good too. Action cures fear. And I mean, that's it. I mean, it really does. And so how did you come to be able to express that?
Oh, that was very a simple thing. You got to keep moving. You got to embrace all those obstacles and keep going forward to it. You're going to fall. You're going to get hurt. But eventually, though, you'll learn how to stop falling. And if you just sit down and think about it, you're always going to be scared.
Yes.
But the Greeks have an expression, if you're going to go to a dance, you better start dancing. and life is a big dance. And you're going to have to keep moving.
Okay, to stay with the crowd and to be original in how you're dancing. Listeners, we're going to take another short break. I'm talking with Billy Canupas, who is owner of Billy's Downtown Diner and author of The It Factor, Mindset of an Entrepreneur. I'm Sally Hanlon. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse.
For program support on WDIY, we thank ASAP Mailing of the Lehigh Valley, a locally owned and operated mailing and fulfillment company offering marketing and production solutions for your custom mail piece, taking your marketing project from idea to delivery, creating a program that meets your mailing, marketing, and fulfillment requirements. For more information, 484-285-0204 or asapmailing.com.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm Sally Hanlon, your host this evening, and I'm talking with Billy Canupas, who is owner of Billy's Downtown Diner, about his new book, The It Factor, The Mindset of an Entrepreneur. And before break, we were talking about some of the important qualities that Billy brings out in this book, like embracing originality and action curing fear. And in his one chapter, he talks about having a plan, which includes a plan for health, knowledge, and time. Why do you pull all those together? What has brought that to your plan? A lot of business owners think they can just sort of do it from, the hip. They don't have to have a plan in mind.
Well, that's a dangerous position to be in. I think in the one chapter that I think I have it titled is Making Your Own Path. The first thing is that if you're going to decide to go into business or, you know, you're going to move forward, if you find the right girl, you're going to marry her. I love what my best friend says to me, whose name is Dean. He said to me, you wouldn't wait 2 years to cash in a winning lottery ticket, would you? No, right? So really, what we're really talking about there is, again, you're going to have to think it through. You're going to have to know what you're getting into. You're going to have an understanding. You're going to have to realize that it's not going to be an easy ride. But the most important thing is, it isn't really all about the end result. At the end of the day, it's about finding out who you are, what you're capable of, you know? And I got to tell you, and a lot of people that I have met all say the same thing. Sometimes the journey is a lot more fun than the end result.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a great understanding of everything and that makes you great. And nobody, and we're so busy in this world, and we have so much junk going in between the Kardashians and our iPhones and technology, we start losing a little bit of ourselves. We don't reflect on ourselves and what our contributions are. You know, I mean, do you think a mother that lives in a village ever thought that she'd grow up to see her son become president of the United States?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so think about the influences that are around us. You're going to tell me now that this person wasn't important? We need to have a great understanding of ourselves and who we're from and why. One of the things was for me, although I started to embrace some success and as my dreams were coming true, I was dealing with a different battle. And that different battle is, if I have all these things going on, I'm driving the cars that I want, the watches, and opening up these businesses, why am I so miserable? Which was one of the main reasons why I also wrote this book. Because, again, it's about the mindset. And I'm glad that I did write this book because it helped me figure some things out about me. I lost my father at a very young age. And so when I married the woman of my dreams, he wasn't able to be there for the wedding, obviously. He was deceased. He wasn't there for my graduation, again, because of the medical, the doctors giving him the wrong medicine. I never got that approval, like, hey, good job,
yeah,
son. You really did a good job.
Yeah.
You know, and my mother, she matters to me so much, and I always heard it from her, but I was always a little envious of that because my father was my idol and my hero, and I wanted to be so much like him. And not being able for him to say, wow, you know, look at what you did. Congratulations, you know, was tearing me up inside. But at the time, I didn't know what was causing it.
Okay. Okay. So you focused on yourself, you journaled, and you were able to work through that. And part of that is sort of removing some of the things in your life that were getting you stuck.
Exactly. And that's what the whole mindset is, right? Because when you're going to reflect, are you going to know what really made you successful or what really bothers you? I mean, you got to have an understanding of all these things. Mental health is so important. And most people forget when they're starting a business, they have to have the right set of mind. Whether you're going to get married, start a family, a business, no matter what, you're going to have that right mindset. Because at the end of the day, everything comes from the top down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in the idea of building it from the ground up. You got to be in the right place at the right mindset so you can have that vision as to how you're going to construct this. You can't just go through life winging everything.
Yeah, you can't just put a brick here, a brick here. You need to have the vision of how the whole thing will come together.
That is so true. That is so true, and it's so important.
Okay. Well, and we're going to move on to Chapter 9, where you talk about the value of going back to square one. And that's something that you try to do on a semi-regular basis. I liken that in my mind to sort of doing your strategic thinking about your business, going back to the sort of the basics. This is what I wanted to do. Now, where am I? And have I achieved that? Is that indeed what you mean? Or
I think the most important thing is, and what I'm trying to talk about, is that you have to look back and say, you're always going to have to reflect. And what made it work for you? You can't take one moment of your life or anything that you've ever done for granted. It's important to really understand where you came from and what you did and the importance of evolving. I think I used an example in the book. You know, you take a look at the Polaroid cameras. You know, people would take a snapshot of it and then boom, it would pop out. You do a little dance and you'd have the photo.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember doing that dance.
Yeah, everybody did, right? And without music.
Yeah.
So, But now, where is that company now? They didn't keep up with the times. And just because what made me successful 20 years ago might not apply now. 20 right. years ago, we didn't know what gluten-free was. We didn't know what vegan was. We didn't know what a lot of these terms were.
We didn't know what smoke-free was.
Didn't know what smoke-free was, right? So going back to step one is really taking a look and analyzing everything. But more importantly, and I think Steve Jobs put it best, when you look forward, nothing makes sense. But when you look back, you see how those dots connected.
Yes.
And you have to understand your journey. Because if we're going to be always moving forward, we're always going to have a better understanding of ourselves.
Correct. Yeah, looking backwards doesn't mean you have to go backwards, but it really helps you understand where your journey needs to go and not repeating.
Maybe it's called some the things. Past because it's meant to stay back there.
Yeah.
You know, I did a lot of foolish things. When I was building my career, I would do things that, and I talk about it in the book, and I highly urge people not to do it. I would deprive myself of sleep. For example, if I didn't feel I gave it my best that day, I wouldn't sleep. I'm like, you don't deserve to sleep. If I felt that I did something really wrong or I could have done it better, I'd punish myself. I'd go outside in freezing cold weather without like shoes and a shirt
oh, well,
late
yes,
at night.
Listeners, please don't do this.
No, but the point that I was trying to make, though, is to me is how important it was to me to try to reach a level and trying to make my father proud of me. Because I know his journey mm-hmm. and what he endured to get here and how he lived. So I felt that I was spoiled. So I was doing what I needed to do to make him proud. But the importance of that, taking a look back, I realized, what was I thinking and what was I doing? And of course, I would not do that again. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the other reasons why, because just because it, by coincidence, it worked out well and I didn't get up pneumonia,
yeah.
Was great. Might not be a good thing to continue doing that now that I'm in my 50s.
Yeah. Well, and you also mentioned here the importance of maintaining your health in addition to the continuous knowledge, you know, once you become a business owner, because it is very easy to lose perspective. And, you know, you get caught into these 16, 20-hour days. And even though you might want to sleep, your mind is always going, and so you don't get the type of sleep. So you got to be in good condition.
Yeah, well, you do. Health is very, very important. And that means, like, I have this philosophy that I don't stop because I'm tired. I stop when I'm done. But the biggest issue that I have is that I really love what I do. Mm-hmm. You have no idea. So I lose track of time. And I got to tell you something that happened about 2 weeks ago. I was in the midst, we're building our new restaurant, and I had to get this email out, and my daughter wanted to talk to me about something. She goes, Dad, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, honey, let me do this. Eventually, my daughter tired, and she went to bed. And the following morning, I walked into her room and I woke her up and I said, honey, I am so sorry. I wasn't ignoring you because I don't love you and not because you're not important. I was just trying to finish something up. And I felt so guilty. And she looked at me. She goes, Daddy, she goes, I know you're working hard to keep this roof over our heads. And I'm going to tell you, it made me like tear up. And I felt like such a terrible father at that moment, you know? And so I'm referring to instances, a lot of things like that. And in regards to your health, you can love what you need to do, but sometimes you got to really think it through because how it affects other people around you
sure.
as well.
Sure. And sometimes if it's you, just yourself and business, your health is your business as well. So you've got to make sure that you maintain it. Now, listeners, I'm going to let you in on a little bit of a special here, but we're not going to go into detail. You have to read chapter 7 in this book, and we're not going to talk about what that is, but see if you can understand the purpose of chapter 7 if you pick up Billy's book. So, Billy, what are your plans for this book? It just got published, correct?
Correct.
And so, I don't know, is it up on your website yet? I looked, I didn't see it the other day.
We're launching a brand new website, okay. But I do have plans for it, and I'm working with somebody terrific, Sharon, who has Surge Media, and she's working with me in getting the word out. But the plan is this. I genuinely really care for people, and you know, I'm just trying to do my part in as many different ways that I can. I mean, trust me, this book does not affect my lifestyle at all. It's not going to make me any more money or anything like that. It's really a passion,
a sharing,
mm-hmm. and to really letting people know how great this country is and the importance of embracing entrepreneurism. And then, of course, you know, I love writing. It's my therapy. And, of course, I'm working on another thing.
Can you share anything about what the next direction is or not?
Yeah, I'll be more than happy to tell you about it. So I'm working on a new book, and it's actually a concept that I developed called Deconstruction, the Art of Building a Business. And what it really means is really tearing it apart and seeing what makes it tick, why it's working or why it's not working. And that's just a little tidbit.
Sure,
and
okay.
I don't want to say too much about it because like myself and us as a society, we're always a work in progress and we're trying to evolve. So, but that's pretty much the basic and the premise about it.
Okay. Now you understand, fact of being in business and the struggle of being in business and how to share it at a level that most people easily understand. Have you made presentations? If somebody listening here tonight would like to have you come and talk to a youth group about owning a business, or maybe it's a club or something, are you available to do those types of things?
Yeah, you got to talk to Sharon over there. I'll do whatever, anything. I mean, like I said, it's very important, so of course I would be there.
Okay. All right. Now, let's get back to Billy's Diner a little bit. So can you give us an update on Easton and where that stands?
Thank God. I mean, you know, it took a little bit of a process. Easton is an amazing city with a lot of foodies down there.
Yeah.
So we're really excited to be there in the crown jewel of Easton, the brand new City Hall.
That's a beautiful building.
It is. I mean, everybody that worked on it did it such an amazing job. You know, it's got like nice architecture. The mayor is just a person that truly understands business and the importance of it. So it has so many incredible ingredients. And it took us about 2 years to finalize the lease. And we had a lot of supporters. And along the way, we have a few people that aren't that supportive. But I guess it comes with sometimes with government and bureaucracy. Sometimes people want to hold up progress. But overall, though, it's an amazing experience. I learned a lot in the process of doing this and the importance of patience. So the project is full blast ahead. We got some great contractors and amazing designers and an amazing city to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm very thankful and blessed to open up a place in Easton because that's where it all started for me and my family.
Okay. So you originally were in Easton? You went to school in Easton?
Graduated from Easton. My father opened up his restaurant in Easton.
Okay.
So it has a very special place in my heart. I always wanted to go to Easton because as a tribute to my father and my family, but that it's an amazing city with so many great restaurants that just opened up down there, like the Bayou and Oak, and to be part of that renaissance is just amazing. So I'm really thrilled about it.
Well, and that location with the aquarium project that's on the books right now, boy, it's a terrific location for you as well.
Yes. Well, it goes to show a lot about a city when it sees this type of development. And actually, I'm so blessed because Bethlehem saw that renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
Allentown is seeing that. Easton is. The Lehigh Valley is just a great place to be right now. It always was, but it's really understanding and getting the importance of business more and more. And there's a lot of good leadership pushing for it more and more. So it's really a win-win for anyone that's looking to be a part of something very special.
Yeah. great. Now, speaking of something special, you have visitors at your location from all over the country come in, and I noticed on your website that you have a tab that says franchise. So I was just sort of curious, is that something that you're thinking about? Is that something that is potentially in your future?
Like I've always said, I let God write our story, but yeah, it is. We have a lot of inquiries. We've had probably close to around 95 to 100 inquiries. And so over the past few years, and we feel that we created something really special, really unique. That's why, you know, we're registered and we're trademarked as Not Your Ordinary Diner. And I think the way we put things together is really cool. And I'm thrilled and honored that people really like it and inquire about it. So hopefully, again, doing our part, we'll be creating some more entrepreneurs in a different way.
Well, and I think, you know, based on what I know about your restaurant, especially the Bethlehem, although I've always gone to Allentown more, you maintain a staff that's incredible. Your philosophy seems to really just be dispersed among your staff. That would be a hard thing as a franchise to try and maintain. But you have people that have worked with you for years, correct?
Yeah, we have some people that have been with us there for like 12 years.
Yeah.
And that goes to show another thing. It's great because I believe in them and they believe in me. But again, it wasn't an easy journey. My wife, Yana, who's my right hand, has been very important of that, and she's been very supportive and dealt with my wackoisms. She's a saint, so she works really hard, and we have great management that really love people. They really love being with people, and they do such a great job. Kayla, Rebecca, Chris, and so many others as well.
They're very welcoming when you come into your establishment.
Show me your friends and I'll show you who you are, right?
Right. Listeners, we're about to wrap up this session, and I just want to mention on December 9th, there will be a book signing of The It Factor at the Moravian Bookshop here in Bethlehem from 6 to 8 p.m. that Billy will be at, and you'll get a chance to meet him firsthand and get a signed book for you or a Christmas present if you like. Billy, is there any parting word you'd like to leave with our listeners before we close this show?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I mean, the Moravian Bookshop is an amazing place, right? It's the oldest bookstore in the country, and I think people should really know that. So even if you don't want to come out for me, you should just go and take a look at how incredible that place is. But the only thing that I would just want to say is that, you know, don't fear anything. Just go forward. Because if you don't want to stay complacent, you don't want life to pass you by, and you don't want to look at, you know, in the end and say, I should have, would have, or could have, you know, you don't want to have that kind of regret. Every opportunity you need is in the here and now, and you just got to be aware of it.
Listeners, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Billy, thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to be a part of Lehigh Valley Discourse and sharing your new book and some of your philosophies with us. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.